Can you tell me, because this film is a quite an unusual film because it is quite clearly a big collaboration. Can you, and also it's not just about Australian Indigenous experience, but it collaborates with Maori, and so it brings us into a much bigger issue, doesn't it? It's about connection to country, but in a bigger way, right?
Yeah, it's largely focused on the impact of colonization across all, a united group of countries. There's a Samoan group of filmmakers as well in the mix. So I think it's just everyone responding to, their individual sort of experiences, forced by the same sort of power.
So what role did you play in this making of this film?
Yeah, I directed one of the individual chapters called Grog Shop, which is the one set in a grog shop, basically in Alice Springs. And then my bigger role was I was the montage director. So I came in throughout when the film's being shot, basically, and started putting them together in the order in which they're presented and cutting them up individually and creating the montage, basically. So yeah, I was the one that was sort of responsible for crafting it to the feature that was sort of interweaving the individual stories.
Wow, so because that's it, isn't it? It's a very complex film. I mean, it deals with complex issues, but it's a complex film. So tell me, you use animation. I mean, blown away by how these different groups of people came up with the stories that they wanted to contribute, and then how it all cohered into a whole film. They're real stories, aren't they?
They are, and I think it was a true collaboration from inception. Like immediately when the filmmakers all came together, we would just had a number of, like, I think three really big sort of weeks together, basically over the course of a few years, just going, okay, what do we want to do? What's the important thing we want to say? If we have one opportunity, which we probably do, and this is it, to ever make a film like this again, how are we going to pack the biggest punch, and really help people understand what the experience and ongoing experiences have been like, So I think that people just sort of really grabbed the opportunity and just went, you know what, we're going to give it our all, because the film really wasn't made with a very big budget either. So I think people just sort of went above and beyond to, make the best piece of cinema that they could.
So it was done over years, you're saying.
It was because of of COVID and everything else happened just as production had started on a few of them. But it was certainly maybe a year and a half from our first sort of meeting through to the last one. So we had two in Australia and one in New Zealand where all the filmmakers came together. And initially we didn't even know whether we were going to do a film that sort of interwove the stories. Like initially it was just going to be a series of short films. But I think as we kind of started developing the idea, people were like, you know what, how can we think outside of this square and make it something that's a bit more unique, than just a bunch of short films?
Yeah, well, it certainly does that. It's a real piece of art. And I suppose that the overall consciousness, the story of colonization and its impact, was the key. So therefore, it was possible for everything to be melded together.
Yeah, well, that was the one sort of thing that, obviously does is the glue, right? And then I think when Danielle came up with her concept for the animation, which we call Lured, and her idea really helped us form what the rest of the film might be, because for those of you who've seen the film, or it's basically a mother and a daughter fishing out on sea. And those two characters that come back and, back and forth throughout the film as it travels along represent kind of the global Indigenous experience. So it spoke for us. I think it meant that it spoke for everyone around the world. So it wasn't just as part of,
No,
the
it's not.
planet.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's amazing. It absolutely amazing piece of work.
Yeah. I think the animation's just so delightful. I never, ever get sick of seeing it.
But
Beautiful.
also, it starts something else, which is it infuses the film with a different sense of time and gravitas, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yep, it certainly does. And a gentleness and a real feminine energy too, I think. You know, when you're sort of talking about the colonial powers and you know, the British and all of that sort of stuff, it just feels very masculine. And then I just think it's a really gentle way of bringing our audience into the story too. You know, I think it's a kind of a simplistic way of demonstrating the impact that had, you know.
You said you had a small budget. I mean, what I'm thinking about on a practical level is how did you all actually get together? I mean, how did that, who set the flame?
It was basically Screen Australia and Film New Zealand, or the New Zealand Film Commission. They A woman called Patty Smallacombe, who was running the Indigenous department at the time, was super keen to get a sort of collaboration happening with the Māori filmmakers over in New Zealand. And so she was just kind of biding her time and waiting for the right project to pop up. Then lo and behold, suddenly it's like 250 years since Cook circumnavigated Pacific region, right? So that sort of presented itself as an opportunity to go for some sort of funding, basically, to make a film about that. But of course, it's very quickly, nobody wanted to make a film about sort of Cook per se. So of course it became, well, actually, what's more interesting than that is what about the people that were there originally, and how did that moment in time alter their experience in life, or their existence, you know? So I just think it was a really sort of interesting idea that a group of people had with Screen Australia and the NT Film Commission from the go-get to enable this opportunity for us all to collaborate in this way.
There's a whole lot of different times involved in the stories. They are all from different places. And one of the things that's interesting is that it doesn't matter that it's not chronological, it's all woven together. I really love that.
Yeah, it was. I know it was just truly like, I think all the individual filmmaking teams just sort of put their thinking caps on and thought, okay, well, what can we do to really show quite an expansive kind of cinematic experience speaking to this theme? You know, for my film, for example, I knew that it was probably important that there was a little bit of romance or a little bit of comedy, because that's kind of my, you know, that's my sort of thing. And then one of the other filmmakers was like, she's into futuristic sort of storytelling. So that she came up with that little girl in the future being handed over the rites of passage, basically, from her grandfather, you know, in a world where we think, you know, nobody's listened to First Nations sort of advice regarding environment, and everything's fallen to shit, for want of a better expression. So it's I think it's such an interesting way of speaking to bigger things too.
And the one that really sticks out for me, well, a lot of them do, but the one about the young guy at Anzac, that is just such an eye-opener. When he meets the Turk, and I mean, people have to go and see the film to know what I mean, but it's such a high point in the film. It's so fantastic.
Oh,
And
great.
that's why I said these must be real stories. These have really happened to people.
Oh yeah, a lot of it is absolutely based in true historical events. And I mean, the one with the haka is literally the first haka that's been recorded. And the people that are in that film, it's you when you see the film, you know it. It's this amazing community of people, and they're speaking to, you know, tribes basically having conflict within them with amongst themselves regarding ways they're going to deal with the British sort of invasion. They get the haka, and it's like the first haka. But the people that are in the film are actually the community that owned that first
Oh,
Huckard story, you know. So I think so the film has such authenticity, so much authenticity, you know. And I think that's the beautiful thing that comes with Indigenous storytelling, you know, that you have to do it the right way to tell the right story. So.
actually, when you bring up the haka, it really brought out the technical excellence or skills of the people who made the film too. There was this amazing movement in those shots of the haka, where the expressions on people's faces really stood out. It was quite amazing.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece. And well, I think that's they're not actors; they're just the community that own that dance and that song, you know, that particular haka. So it's just a bit of brave sort of casting too, you know, to not always have actors, but to say, all right, you've got, you know, as a community, you've got an opportunity to record this in this sort of cinematic way. Are you up for it? And, you know, they that community did. They had to slaughter a big cow. Like, everything was done, like, you know, what we say, sort of proper way, you know. So, yeah, I think all of those things combined make it a really beautiful and sort of special piece of film.
Yeah, I think it's quite extraordinary, to tell you the truth. I think the whole film is really extraordinary. And the fact that it embeds all the different stories from all these different times. It must have been a really challenging thing to actually meld it all together. It must have been fantastic, but it must have been tricky as well. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, I was working with a master sort of film editor. His name is Roland Galois, who, you know, edited films like Samson Delilah and my first feature, Here I Am. So I'd had an experience working with Roland before, but I think there was just so many various ways you could do it, you know. There's just like millions of options of where you could cut the films and what films follow what parts of which story. So we pained over it and slaved over it for about 6 months, you know, basically just him and I just trying every trick in the book and bringing in titles and, you know, then of course working out what films would have what sort of music. And yeah, it was a mammoth task, really it was, but one that I just absolutely loved. I was saying to someone the other day, I think it was sort of the highlight of my filmmaking career to date, just having that real artistic expression in putting together images and elements of story, you know.
Yeah, I do. It's quite a remarkable film. And the next thing is, you must have shown it to the other filmmakers, and what was their reaction?
Yeah, look, I think some people, there were things that, cultural nuances that were taking place in stories that I realised I wasn't aware of. And I'll give you an example. In one of the films, the one that of which you talk about, the one set in Gallipoli, there's a Samoan soldier who is alone in the trenches. Yeah, that was a Samoan story. So he's alone in the trenches, and there was just a scene where he opens up a can of, like, bully beef, you know, like canned meat,
yeah,
and eats it and throws it away, disgusts him.
Yeah.
And that film was always a bit longer than the others, and in the grand scheme of things, when you're balancing up the sort of the pace and rhythm of the overall feature film, I was sort of suggesting to the filmmakers that maybe that was not a moment that could sort of be cut out, you know. And then the filmmakers came back to me and they're like, well, actually, Beck, you know, that a can of bully beef represents when the missionaries came in and, you know, stopped us being allowed to fish and hunt in our own traditional ways. And then our diet was replaced with salty canned meat and sugar and flour and all those sorts of things. Disgusting food in the land of plenty all around them, you know. And it was just so wonderful. It was like, okay, got it, you know. So there were those little beautiful cultural nuances being shared between us as a team as well, which I thought was really precious and important, yeah. And just really inspiring. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So overall, they were happy.
Oh, I think, yeah, everyone's happy. Like, we're all absolutely thrilled. Like, everyone's just so happy that the film's being seen. It seems to be getting an audience. You know, we opened the Sydney Film Festival. We've been off to Toronto, New York and Melbourne and da-da-da-da-da, which you just don't know. Filmmaking is always such a gamble, and particularly with something, you know, which seems like a hard-hitting kind of slap you over the head kind of theme, like colonization, for example. But I think the films are actually so spirited and powerful and meaningful that audiences have been really drawn to it. And I think us as a collective of filmmakers, we should be really proud of ourselves, because it's hard to make a film, let alone have 10 filmmaking films all make the one film together, you know. So I'm pretty happy about the way it's worked out, and I've not heard any negative comments from anyone else. So,
well, it's actually awe-inspiring. The film is actually takes your breath away. So, you know, it's not a normal film. It's a really great film.